now second quarter. There's a rerun from yesterday?
So much for
Thanks
being
a lot.
So much
really
for being
appreciate
out of the
you
loop.
Right now. I just left and it was like I think they scored their third touchdown. They were up like 21-3 second quarter. Alrighty then.
No need to watch it now.
Okay. Anything else you want to update us on? Okay. Amen.
Spoiler alert.
I'm not kidding. I was just watching that. And I was thinking, good, Green Bay is going to beat the Bears. If there's one team I don't like, it's the Bears. I don't like Green Bay either. Huh? Yeah, but she kept her mouth shut, though. I don't know, there's something about, and then the Bears took our guy and, you know, all that. I'm not a Lions fan. Gave up 35 years ago, quit drinking the blue Kool-Aid. After 62 years, they haven't got a whiff of a Super Bowl. So, sorry, Brother Kevin, but don't care. But anyway, I don't know. I got to find a team to like, I guess. But I always liked San Francisco back in Montana days. You know, I think he's the greatest quarterback. And since I've... Yeah, appreciate that. He retired, okay? But anyway, I do like my Tigers, though. Like my Tigers. I look forward to the day. I'm going to be taking Miss Betty to her first Tiger game. She's never been to a Tiger game. Can't believe that. So Cheryl and I are going to take her this spring, and I will take her, you know. She's in great shape. She's lost weight. She's on it, and I mentioned that to her this morning. I said, you've lost weight. And she kind of smiled as usual, and then her son said, yeah, she's not eating all the junk at home. And her diet's better. She's got friends at this place she's at. She's really doing good. And, you know, she was kind of talking about, well, you know, I could die anytime or whatever. She's not going anywhere. She's 93 years old, and she's in great shape. She really is. And I look forward to taking her to the ball game, and we're going to have a good time. Anyway, back to church now that we're disrupted with the scoreboard here, analysis. But let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your goodness to us, and we thank you for being God in all of our lives at the same time. And Lord, pray that you bless the service tonight, bless the singing of the hymns and the preaching of the Word of God. We pray that you would give Brother Kevin the unction of God's Spirit tonight, and we look forward to seeing what you put on his heart. So bless this service. May the name of Jesus be lifted up and glorified tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, 635. In the garden. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birch husks their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. joy we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling. But he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. It did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, for those who know it best seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in seams of glory I sing a new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. Will be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
Amen. All right, last but not least, 713. Seek ye first. Thank you.
unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. We'll have our men come. Oh, for a minute I thought you were going to help with the offering, Pastor. You're standing right there next to George. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us and for caring for us and for giving us everything that you give to us, all the blessings, Father. We thank you for this time now in our service where we get back to you, your tithes and our offerings, and we pray that you bless both the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Sherry comes to sing a song to you that God has put on her heart.
This song is called Jesus, I Believe You. I'd be lying if I said that I'm okay, 'cause right now I'm lost and lost on account of the broken prayers I've prayed. And it's true that some days it'd be easier to doubt, but your word has never let me down. Jesus, I believe you. When you say you're fighting for me, I believe you. When you tell me that my story isn't over just yet, I will rise up for you. You promise me that I will make it through. Jesus, I believe you. I do. I'll trust your word even when my eyes can't see. I won't fear the future, 'cause I know your plans are good for me. And it's true that some days it'd be easier to doubt, but your word has never let me down. Jesus, I believe you. When you say you're fighting for me, I believe you. When you tell me that my story isn't over just yet, I will rise up for you. You promise me that I will make it through. Jesus, I believe you. I do. Your love is a reason I hope. Your arms will never let me go. No fear when you know what I know. Jesus, I believe you. Your love is a reason I hope. Your arms will never let me go. No fear when you know what I know. My Jesus, that's why I believe you. When you say you're fighting for me, I believe you. When you tell me that my story isn't over just yet, I will rise up for you. You promise me that I will make it through. Jesus, I believe you. I do. Jesus, I believe you.
Proverbs chapter 24. Yeah, I was tempted to look at the scores before I come up here. I did enjoy the game earlier, because now I'm rooting for Buffalo. I hope nobody wants to see that game later. Proverbs chapter 24, and if you've heard my preaching at all, you know I like to dissect verses. There's a lot you can find in the Word of God, and even in one verse, that's what makes it such a powerful thing. I was talking to Wendy, and she was talking about how, reading the Bible, finding new things, and I told her I taught in Ezekiel this morning in the teen class, and I said, I've read the Bible a number of times, and something jumped out at me, and it was awesome. It was awesome. So we're going to be looking at verse number 16 tonight, and we're just going to dissect this a little bit and then see what the Lord has for us. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 16, the Bible says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." And I want to take a minute, few minutes of your time tonight, and preach on that first part, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again," and preach on this subject, "Why get up? Why get up?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy, for your grace, Lord, and I thank you, God, for your loving kindness and forgiveness. And I thank you so much, Lord Jesus, for my church family and for those that came out tonight, Lord, and I pray for those that are sick, who have a desire to be here, but cannot because of illness. And I think of Miss Dorothy, and I think of our dear sister Francine, and I just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you would comfort them, heal their body speedily, Lord God, and just help them. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that you'd help us as a church to get something from your word tonight, whether it be tonight, whether it be somebody watching it later or somebody watching on the internet right now. I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord God, that we would get something from your word to strengthen us and to help us, Lord Jesus, to push on for you, Lord. I thank you so much. In Jesus' name I ask, amen. Amen. I want to be an encouragement tonight. The last time I preached, not so much. But tonight, I want to be an encouragement. I know every preacher says he wants to be an encouragement, but honestly, I do. And I was thinking about this verse when I was asked to preach, and I love the Holy Spirit, and I love how me as a preacher, I get these ideas, and I have tons of outlines on my phone that I have not yet worked out. I have a box in my house of outlines that I have not made into messages. I'm not sure if I ever will. Or so when I get asked to preach something, I think about these things and I think, God, what do you want me to preach? And I think that was a good one, and that was a good one, and that was a good one. And sometimes I have older messages and I go, hey, we want to preach some of them old messages, you know. They're old to me, but maybe new to you. And God kept giving me this verse. He kept giving me this verse. And it was probably Monday or Tuesday where he said, you know, come up with something on this verse. And this verse is usually given to describe perseverance, toughness, endurance for a Christian. And believe me, we need that. We need to be able to persevere. The Bible says that we're supposed to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to push through because, you know, Christian life, it's not easy, and we fight battles in our walk for Christ. Ephesians 6:12, the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness." I mean, we're fighting Satan, and we're fighting his demons. And then Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 says how for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I mean, we're fighting against our own old nature, our own old man, and then you're just fighting against life itself and life's problems, drama, you could say, at home, health issues, finances, bills to pay. I mean, we're constantly bombarded with things that could knock us down, things that could push us down, and so we need the Word of God, and we need these verses to look at to help us to get through things, to push us. And the Bible says in this verse, we see, first of all, we see two people, or you could say positions. I like the book of Proverbs because oftentimes you read the book of Proverbs, he usually divides it into two groups. If you read the book of Proverbs, you'll see he'll say something that the fool does this, but the wise does this. He divides it in this verse, and it says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." So you see the just man, and then it says, "But the wicked shall fall into mischief." And you could technically say the believer and unbeliever, or the saved and unsaved. So you see these two people, or the two positions, the saved and unsaved, but then you see the plight, right? You see that whether saved or unsaved, whether an unbeliever or a believer, the Bible says that they both fall. For just man falleth. Then it says, but the wicked shall fall. They both encounter something in their life. They both encounter a trouble in their life that makes them stumble, makes them fall. And it's because, you know, everybody falls. Nobody's perfect. Yeah, when you think to yourself, "Oh, well, Jesus saved me," and it'd be great if, you know, if Jesus saved us and all of a sudden we didn't have to worry about stuff and we just went right to heaven. But that ain't often how it goes. We're still here on earth. And we're not perfect, and we fall, and we stumble, and we make mistakes, we make wrong choices, and we hit our heads, and we hit our faces, and on the ground, whether saved or not saved. We all go through it. We all go through troubles, and sometimes we don't make it through the troubles. And I will tell you this, sometimes troubles win. Sometimes troubles beat us down. And even the Apostle Paul, how great the Apostle Paul was. I like this verse, Romans 7:18. He says, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." I like that because I look to Paul and I think what a great man the Apostle Paul is. And if you read the verses prior to that, he says, "For the things that I would, I do not, and the things that I would not, I do." He says, you know what, even if people are looking at me and saying, "Oh, how great the Apostle Paul is," I fall, I stumble. "For to will is present with me," meaning I know what to do, I know the right choices, I know what God wants me to do, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Sometimes I don't choose the right path. Sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I stumble, sometimes I fall, sometimes I let situations get the best of me. We see the people, the positions, we see the plight. Then I want us to look at this, though, the persuasion. The persuasion. we see that the just man falleth seven times. And what we also see, the wicked shall fall into mischief. But out of those two groups, only one group gets up. Only one group rises back up. For the just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That's the believer. That's the one who gets up. The unbeliever does not get up. The Bible says that he falls into mischief, but the believer, the Bible says, even though he falls, he gets right back up. And my question, my rhetorical question to you, is why get up? Why get up? If I'm saved and I fall, and if I'm unsaved and I fall, why not quit? You read this verse, and it says that he falls not just one time, but he falls seven times. Now, I like the verse because it doesn't specify a timetable. It doesn't say in this verse if he falls seven times within this span. This guy could fall seven times in one day. Have you anybody ever been there? You just kept messing up and you just kept messing up. And you just kept making the wrong choices and you just kept falling and you just kept making mistakes and you allow the whatever it may be to get you. It could be seven times in a day. I was looking at this verse. It could be, you know, seven is the number of completion in the Bible. It could be that, you know what, hey, we're going to fall and we're going to mess up and we're going to make mistakes and we're going to stumble throughout our whole life until, of course, we get to heaven. We don't have to worry about that mess anymore. We don't have to worry about making wrong choices and doing the wrong thing and fighting with the devil or fighting with ourselves or anybody. We'll be in heaven. But why get up? Why not stay down? If you're going to keep falling, if you're going to keep messing up, if you're going to keep making mistakes in this Christian life and you're not perfect, why do it? Why keep going? You know, I'm going to say something, and I don't want any of you guys to feel jealous of me. But when I was in school, I was in the chess club. And I was pretty good. And I don't want anybody wanting my signature or anything. I will give it if you want it. But no, I was in the chess club, and I used to play, you know, chess, and I was pretty good. I remember playing my uncle, who was really good, and I remember just beating him, watching TV, beating him, and stealing his queen, which is a major piece if anybody plays chess, and him flipping the table and calling me all sorts of names. But I still like to play chess, and I have a chess.com app on my phone, and I'll be playing chess. And I played somebody from Pakistan, I think, today. You know, it shows the flag and everything. And let me tell you, the Indian people and Brazilians and Canada, they talk some junk. And you think it's chess, you know, like a legit, you know, gentleman game? Yeah, no. They talk some stuff. I hate playing them people. But there, you know, when I play chess, there are sometimes, and my son loves it because he'll be doing something and I'll be playing chess on my phone. And then he'll be waiting for me to do something so he can keep working and I'll be playing chess. And he comes to me and says, hey, we have to do this. And I won't say nothing to him. And he's got to the point where he knows, don't mess with me. I'm in this game here. And I got to win, right? And I have a 1,300-something score,
you know. Again, not bragging or anything. But you know, there are some days when I play that game and I just lose all the time. I just lose. Ain't nothing more frustrating. Well, there's other things, you know, more frustrating than chess. But man, I tell you what, I just get beat and beat and beat and beat. And I go, I'm tired of playing these Indians and these Brazilians and these Canadians and anybody else who's beating me. And I tell you what, and a lot of times I'll lose because I make a stupid move. When I move, and it's not, well, in chess, if you let go of the piece, it's done. You can't take it back. Same with playing online. You move a piece, you can't take it back. And I'll move a piece, and I just, oh, and of course they take it. They don't never not see it. And I just lose and lose and lose and lose and lose. And I think to myself, why do I play this game? Why do I keep playing this game? I could be sitting in Target waiting for somebody, and I pick up and play chess. We're walking with my wife, and I'd be playing chess. And I go, why do I play this game when I lose and I lose? But then, you know what? Then I start winning. And then I start losing again. And then I go, why do I play this stupid game? And then I start winning again. And then I start losing again. And it's just like this. And of course, chess is not comparable to life. Because if I lose at chess, people may have to hear about it, or I may hold it inside and just, you know, push it way down in my anger. But it's just a game. But I was thinking, you know, sometimes in life itself, sometimes we have our highs, right? And then we have our lows. And sometimes you go, well, this is about as low as it can get. And then, you know, then you get that, nope, no, it's not. You can go a little bit lower. And then you get low, low. Then you might get high again. You know, that's, the Bible says, a just man, he falls 7 times. Meaning he falls a lot. But he always gets up. He always gets up. Why does he get up? Why get up? Let me tell you something. There are Christians today that, I tell you what, they have been faithful then and they're faithful now. Why is that? Are they better than you? No, they're not better than you. Have they never, ever faced a trial, a hardship, a difficulty in their life? No, of course they have. Because nobody is exempt from trouble. Nobody is exempt from problems and difficulties and hardships and storms and trials and tribulations or what have you, whatever you want to call it. It's just some people focus on certain things and it helps push them through, while others do not. While other Christians, they fall and they do what I was, they literally give up and they quit. And they say, I'm tired of falling. And believe me, I've been there. Especially if it's a sin which does so easily beset us. And I fall for the same thing over and over and over again. I say, why do I keep going? If I keep doing it, we all go through it. Some Christians focus on certain things. Let me give you those things. And there's probably more things, but let me give you 3 things real quickly tonight. Why get up? Why, when you fall, you just constantly keep getting up? First of all, is because of Christ. It's because of Christ. Hebrews verses chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. You know these verses? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, you could say endurance there, the race that is set before us, And here's the key, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Why do we keep going? Why do we get up even though we fall 7 times, even though we get up and we have our highs and lows? Why don't we ever stay down? And why do we get up? Is first of all, because of Christ. Because of Christ. See, the difference is, see, that in this verse, you have the just man, the believer, and then you have the wicked. The wicked fall, and they have no hope. They have no Jesus, and they suffer. And there's a verse in Peter where it says, you know what? We're all going to suffer. 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 4. It says, but it's better to suffer for well-doing and not for evil-doing. I'm paraphrasing. So it's better. Some people say, well, what's the benefit of being a Christian? Well, it's such a... If a Christian falls, just like an unsaved person can fall and mess up, and nobody's perfect, what's the benefit of a Christian? A benefit of a Christian is because I have Jesus with me. And I may suffer, but I suffer with Christ. And I have Christ to look at. He is the author and finisher of my faith. He is the one I look to. He is my help. He is my refuge. He is everything to me. And I have life because of him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, thou therefore, I quoted this, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. See, I have Jesus Christ, and I get up because I have Jesus Christ, because he's promised me a life after this life. Because, first of all, of who he is my Savior. Jesus loved me when I was unlovable. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Pastor preached about it this morning, about Jesus' sacrifice and how he sacrificed his life on the cross. Who did he do that for? He did it for me. He did it for you. Why do I get up? Because of his love for me. I get up because of Christ, because of who he is. He's my Savior. And again, he saved me, and I'm not in heaven. So I'm still here on earth. So what's he doing? He still supplies. He's my supplier. He's my sustainer. He is my everything. Everything I do is because of him. My life, the Bible says, the Apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ. He is everything. Why do we get up? Because of Christ. Who he is. He's my Savior. He's my, again, supplier. He's good to me. He's kind to me. He's forbearing. He loves me even when I mess up. He's there to pick me up when I fall. He's everything to me. Because of who he is. And I like this, because of who we are in him. Why get up? Because of Christ. Because of who he is. And because of who we are in him. The Bible says, for a just man falleth 7 times. Why is he just? Because of Jesus Christ. He is justified in the eyes of God. He is somebody special to God, to Christ. He is worthy to die for. That's who we are. We are something special in the eyes of God. Why get up? Because I have Jesus there to help me up. Because he is my strength. Hey, I get up. Maybe you're struggling, and maybe you think of that verse of the Bible that says what we have in him. Romans 8:37, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him. We can get up because the Bible says with Jesus we are more than conquerors through him. How about 2 Corinthians 2:14? The Bible says he always causeth us to triumph in Christ. How about this one? 1 Corinthians 15:57. He giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And Romans 8:16, where the Bible says that we are the children of God because of who we are in Jesus. Hey, we get up because we're something special to Him. We get up because He's there to reach down and help us up. And by His strength, we can get up all the time. It's because of Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory. He causes us to triumph. We are His children. We are loved of Him. Galatians 6:14, my life verse. It says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Why do we get up? Because of Christ. God forbid that I should glory, saving the cross of Jesus Christ. I could stay down and I could live in the world, but the world is crucified unto me because of Him. Because of Christ. Why get up? First of all, because of Christ. Why get up? Second of all, because of the cause. Because of the cause. We get up because there's a cause to get up for. A mission, a purpose. Again, Jesus saved you. He saved me for a reason. And the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:9 that it's according to His own purpose and grace which He hath given us in Christ Jesus. There's a cause. I think of David when he says, "Is there not a cause?" When the children of Israel were scared to go forward, they were scared of Goliath. David said, "Is there not a cause?" Yes, there is a cause. There's a cause for you and me. There's a purpose. That's why you get up. That's why you don't stay down. That's why you don't quit. That's why you don't give up on God. That's why you keep going, because He saved you for a reason. And it ain't to stay down. You have power in Jesus Christ to move forward. People today, you know, they'll fight for all these causes. Turn on the TV. They're fighting for some cause. Christians ought to fight for their cause, the cause of Christ, their purpose. What has God saved you for? You say, "Brother Kevin, I don't know." Well, you should start asking. And if you don't know what Jesus Christ saved you for, then what do? I got a message again, I think it's in that box. The title is, "What do you do when you don't know what to do?" Well, what you do is you do the basics, the things that you know to do. What is it? Be faithful to God. Church. Read His Word. Pray. Be faithful to the basic things. And if you're faithful in those things, He'll give you other things. Isn't that what it says? You're faithful in the little things, He'll give you more. But if you can't even focus on the basics, you get up because, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. God saved you for a reason. God saved you for a purpose. What is that purpose? Find out. Find out. Hey, He saved us for we get up because of the cause. First of all, His work. His work. We got to be busy. We could give up. We could quit. Just man, he falls and he says, you know, the sixth time, he says, "Hey, you know what? This is getting ridiculous. You know, this is getting crazy." And he falls a seventh time and he says, "Well, you know what? I'm just done. I give up." You know that God never throws the clay away? You know that I could draw something. I mentioned this in Sunday school. I could draw something, and somebody come over and go, "Oh, wow, that is so good. Man, that is awesome." And I could go, "No, this is wrong with it, and this is wrong with it. And yeah, no, I messed up here. I should have done more shading here, and this and that." And they go, "What are you talking about? I'm my worst critic." You know what? I'm my worst critic in life for myself. Somebody say, "Oh, Brother Kevin, you're just the greatest." And I might go, "Ah, yeah. I can go, man, I got this flaw, I have this flaw. I'm like this, and I can say, well, you don't live with me, you don't see me 24/7, probably want to choke me out, afterwards, but I'm my worst critic to myself. But you know what? God saved me for a reason. And don't matter the flaws or the imperfection, God has a purpose for me. It's to be busy in His work. What work is that? Find out. That's why you get up, because you're not done. You're not finished. When are you finished? When you cross over into glory land. Then you're done. But you know what? Wouldn't it be sad to pass away and then you stand before the judgment seat of Christ and then just wish that you could have did more when you had the opportunity to? Because the Bible says, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him that sent me, John 9:4. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And I like what He said in Luke 2:49. He says, I must be about my Father's business. He didn't say, you know what, I have to be about my Father's business. No, He said, I must be. It's a must. And just like it's a must for us to be about our Father's business. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 3:13, when it talks about our works, every man's work shall be made manifest. There's one day where you're going to be judged for all the work you did for Jesus Christ. You can say, well, I'm a good person. I do this and I do this. Well, what do you do for Jesus? Because that's what's going to matter. Because all the work is going to be put through the fire. And what's going to come out? If your work is wood, hay, and stubble, it's not going to make it through. But if it's that precious stone, that gold, then it'll make it through. And the whole purpose is to lay it at Jesus' feet and say, you know what, I only did all this because of you, because of your strength. Certainly, I've fallen so many times, Lord, but because of you, I kept getting back up. His work, the cause, His work, how about this, His will. What's that verse I read that said that we're supposed to be a soldier that He may please Him who hath chosen Him to be a soldier? You know, we should be looking for the will of God. Because it's not about what we want. Again, the last time I preached about how our desires will fit His desire. If you walk close to Him. If you abide in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We all strive to do His will. That's why we get up, because we want to please Him. We want to be in His will. We don't want to be out of His will. When I was talking to Zayden this morning, I was talking about that verse in Ezekiel. I believe it was Ezekiel 18. Again, that verse that I've read numerous times, but in this verse it says, and I'll paraphrase, that God tells Ezekiel to tell the children of Israel they need to repent, they need to turn from their wicked ways, they shouldn't let the iniquity that they're allowing to be their ruin, it says. So they should change. And in that last verse in Ezekiel chapter 18, he says, I have no pleasure in watching you die. And I said, you know what, God up in heaven, He cares about us. And I said, He doesn't get pleasure. He doesn't have that, look, I told you to go this way, you went that way, and if you go that way, you get what you deserve. And then we come back to Him and go, oh God, I did this, and I mess up. I gave the illustration, and Lord knows my parenting skills. If I tell my kids, don't touch that, it's hot. And they go like this. And I go, hey, I said, don't touch that, it's hot. And they go, ah. And I go, see, there you go. Well, now what do you got? Yeah, I told you. Look at your hand. Look at it, it's all burnt up. Go run to your mom. Go cry to your mom. I told you don't touch that. That's what you get. See, God's not like that. God doesn't throw it in our face like that. God says, don't touch it because I don't want to see you get burned. Because I don't find pleasure in that. I don't like seeing my child suffer and be burned. We ought to search for His will. God, which way do you want me to go? That way? Okay, I need to go that way. God, you know what? I've fallen so many times. I just feel like giving up. Well, that's not God's will. That's not God's will to quit. What are you going to do? You're going to quit and then what? Become a reproach to Christ? How's that His will? What are you going to do? You're going to quit the ministry? You're going to quit sharing the gospel? You're going to quit speaking for God? And who are you going to speak for? How's that helping things? Actually, you know, you quit on me, you know, God speaking. If you quit on Him, you're not helping Him at all. You're hurting Him. What's His will if you get up? I know. Think to yourself, look, I'm dirty and I'm filthy. Look, I've done fallen in the mud. God said, get up. I'll clean you up. Get up. I'll wipe you down. You know, I don't get pleasure in you falling. That's why I'm there to help you up. We ought to search for His will. Paul says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brother. And that word beseech is like beg. He's like, I beg you. And then I just see Paul, the Apostle Paul, because he had such a burden for God's people. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you by the mercies of God. And he says that you be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He says, I beg you, please consider what you're doing. Search for God's will in your life. Why get up? Because of the cause, His work, His will. Sadly today, we got men and women, Christians even. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 and 4. Chapter 2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And then chapter 4 says, they should be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And you think, oh, that's the wicked crowd. No, that's some Christians. That's the Christians who haven't gotten back up. To stay down. The cause, His work, His will. Let me give you this one. This is a big part of why I stayed a Christian, and it persuaded me, is to be a witness. Be a witness. This is again a big reason why I did not quit so young in my life, is because of the people that were around me. Why did I keep getting up when I messed up? Why did I keep getting up when I made the wrong choice and I just felt like quitting? Why did I not quit? Why did I keep getting up and persevering and enduring and all that? Because I cared about those people around me. And I didn't want to be a hindrance to God and turn anybody away from God by the way that I live. I wanted people to see me like they saw Enoch. The pastor preached in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And the Bible says he had this testimony that he pleased God. And again, a testimony is not something you give to yourself. It's not something I go, hey, I please God. You know me. I'm the man in the ministry. No, it's what other people see. They saw Enoch and said, hey, he pleases God. And that's the cause. That's why I get up, because you know what? I don't want to be a hindrance to the work of God, and I don't want to hinder anybody. I don't want to be a reproach to Christ. I want people to approach Christ, see a change in me. Maybe see that, hey, I've messed up. Maybe see that I've fallen, and then maybe see, you know, that I've gotten back up. Say, Brother Kevin, how come, man, I'm surprised. Look at you. You still got a smile on your face. You're facing all this hardship. You're facing all this trouble. Boy, I would have gave up a long time ago. Well, no, I can't give up because I have Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is so good to me, and he loves me, and he cares for me. And I know I may be in a mess right now, but pretty soon I'll be out of it. And that's what I have in Christ. I have hope. Be a witness. 1 Peter 2:9, that we may show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have family. We have friends. We have co-workers. We have neighbors. We have people around us. Why do I keep getting up? Why get up? Because you have people that you care about and you want to see a change in their life. Want to see them. You want to see them trust Christ so that you can see them in heaven one day. And not just that. You want to see them have their lives blessed and them succeed. Why get up? Why do we get up when we fall? Why do we stay faithful? Christian, we mess up a lot. And you know what? If you're here and you don't mess up, then let me know who you are. Let me shake your hand. Let me pick your brain. Because I want to know how you do it. But there's a difference. When you mess up, and you realize it, and you get up, and you keep going. You don't allow yourself to stay down. Hey, we get up. Why get up? First of all, because of Christ. Second of all, is because of the cause. And Pastor preached on this morning. Why get up? Because of the coming. Because of the coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. I don't know if you've ever had anything stolen, but I have. Thieves usually don't telegraph when they're coming. They usually don't inform you beforehand that, you know, what they're going to do. I was watching this stuff on Larry Bird. And the good thing about Larry Bird, the cool thing about Larry Bird is that Larry Bird would tell his defender, he said, I'm going to go fake this, and I'm going to go to the left, and then I'm going to shoot a jumper. And they'd say, he sure would do that. He'd go like this, fake right, go to his left, shoot a jumper. Sure enough, he makes it. Thieves don't do that. They don't tell you. That's the whole point. And Jesus said that he's going to come like a thief in the night. And in Mark chapter 13, verses 35 through 37, he says this, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Why do we get up? Why don't we just quit? Why don't we? Some of us are going through problems now. Again, I got all these messages, all these outlines and things like that, and God gives me this verse. Why does the Holy Spirit, out of all the verses in the entire Bible, have me focus on this verse? And said, preach this verse. Because whether it's somebody here tonight, or it's somebody that's watching by way of internet, or it's somebody who's going to watch this message later, there's somebody who's either thinking about quitting, and you're going through hardship now, and you're going through struggles now, and you're just about saying, you know what, I've fallen, and I've been getting up, but I just keep getting knocked down. Whether it's something around you causing trouble, or you causing your own trouble by that sin which does so easily beset you, maybe. And you say, Brother Kevin, I think I'm done. I'm tired. And sadly enough, there are a lot of Christians who have waved the white flag and said, you know, I'm done. And I'm here to tell you, you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be because of Christ. You shouldn't be because of the cause, the purpose that God has for you. He's not done with you. It doesn't matter how many times you've fallen. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter how you think you've messed things up. God is good at cleaning. He can clean the situation. He can clean you up. And because of the coming, you don't know when he's coming back. You ever get caught doing something you shouldn't do? Yeah? I remember I caught my daughter. Heard noises at night. And I'm like, what is that? And we had these cookies we put on the refrigerator. And I'm telling you, she had to be real young because they were on top of the refrigerator, right? And I'm not that tall, but I want Chips Ahoy or whatever. But I'm hearing, like, here's my room, and when I walk out, I walk into the dining room, and then I walk, and there's a doorway into the kitchen. Well, right when I turn in that doorway, there's the fridge right there, and sort of like, you know, against the wall, like this. So I get up, and I see the lights on, and the, you know, what is the kitchen light doing on? And then, you know, you hear, like, and then, again, my parenting skills, I'm like, yes, I want to catch these kids. And I get up, and I turn that corner, and sure enough, my daughter is up there like this. Caught red-handed. And of course, you know, you're like, hey, what are you doing? Are you counting the cookies for me or something? Because you know, you could have did that when it was daytime. But she got caught. What can she say? Her hand is right there. She can't say nothing. Some of us, right? You're going to get caught. What are we going to say? Can't say, hey God, you know what? I quit because it was too tough. You know that going to the cross thing? That was pretty rough. Well, I'm too tired. You expect me to do this, and you expect me to do that, and this, and this, and this, and that. I know what your word says that you provide, and I know what your word says that you not only would take care of me in this life, but also the next life. But God, you don't know what I was going through. My Bible says the eyes of the Lord aren't everywhere. My Bible says that God is not the high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He knows everything we go through. No, you know what? When we're caught, the only thing we're going to say to Jesus is, true and righteous are thy judgments, O Lord. You got me. And then we're going to feel shame. But what a wonderful thing it is to catch you doing something good. You ever been caught that? Somebody say, hey, I seen you do this. You're like, what? I didn't know you noticed anybody who saw me. Why do we get up? We get up, first of all, because of Christ. He's too good for us to quit. He's too good to us. Again, I say this a lot, and I'm done, and I don't want to be up here rambling, but you know what? If all God did for us, if all Jesus did was go to the cross, lay his life down, and provide us salvation, die on the cross and rise again in victory so that we one day could live in heaven, that would be a deal. You mean, God, you're not going to be with me every step of the way? You mean I call upon you, Jesus, and I become your child, but you will not care for me while I'm on earth? That one day I could go to heaven and live there forever and ever and ever, a place where there's happiness, there's peace, there's joy. But while I'm here on earth, you're not going to do a single thing for me? You're going to let me fend for myself? God said, yep, that's it. I'd say deal. That sounds like an awesome deal. Because I'd like to know when I die that I go to heaven. But God is so good that God says, you know what, no. I'm going to save you. I'm going to make you my child, and you have heaven reserved for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I have a place in heaven reserved for me. And I have a salvation that's kept by the power of God. I shall never lose it, and I'll do you even one better, Jesus said. I'll walk with you and talk with you and be with you all through your life here. And when you call unto me, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And if the world turn on you and you have nobody else in your life, if God be for you, who can be against you? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is too good for us to consider. And I know we do. But God is too good for us to even fathom giving up, staying down. What we ought to be doing is concentrating on him, his work, his will, being a good witness, because he's coming back. We got to stay busy. And we care about those people around us. We want to see them change and be successful. Christian, I don't know if this is for you now, but it might be for you later. You get to that point in your life, and again, it could be now, it could be a week from now, it could be years from now, when you entertain the thought and you say, you know what, I think I'm done. Think about it. A just man, he falleth seven times, but he riseth up again. There's a reason why. Because of Christ, because of the cause,